When you look at the history of Israel, it's sort of like what I said last Sunday morning, hills and valleys. There was a tremendous joy when they went into the land of Canaan and became the promised land. It finally happened after so many years. And yet it wasn't too long before they began to go away from God and turn to idols. And we see the valleys began when Israel to the north was taken into captivity and to Assyria. Then later Judah was taken into captivity in Babylon. Finally, under Persia, they came out from under captivity and restored the temple and the worship of the Old Testament. And we see how many things happened to so many people were lost because they turned away from God. I've lived long enough to see our nation turn away from God. I've lived long enough to see that many in the church have turned away from God. And this morning I'd like to talk with you about something that is mentioned in Judges 2 verse 10, where a generation arose who did not know God. And that's one of the tragic things that happened with regard to the people of Israel, and to recognize that they did indeed turn away from God. In Judges 2 and in verse 10, the Bible reads, "When that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation rose after them who did not know the Lord or the work which he had done for Israel." This other generation did not know the Lord. And I see this echoed in our generation too. When I was young, I don't know particularly whether it was the war, World War II, that made people susceptible to faith, but I remember church buildings being full, young people all over the place. And now I see that that's not the case. And it's something that should concern every one of us, because we're seeing the church dwindle rather than grow. And it's something that should be near and dear to all of our hearts, to recognize the problem that we're having among Christians today. And what we recognize is, looking back to the Old Testament, how did this happen? When you had the priests and you had the prophets and you had the temple later in their history, how did this happen? Well, the Bible tells us that the priest allowed it to happen. Turn, if you would, now to Deuteronomy and look at chapter 31, beginning of verse 9. And it says, "So Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear, that they may learn to fear the Lord your God, and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess." These are some of the dying words of Moses, as he recognized the temptation to forget God, because it had happened in the past as well. Now, the priests were given the law, and they were the ones who were supposed to read it, to make it known to the people, and they didn't do that. In another place, I read where the prophets prophesied falsely, and the people loved to have it so. So there's a turning away from God at some point in people's lives that we have to recognize. In the verse 9 of what we just read, the elders of the people who were respected because of their age and experience, these also allowed it to happen. They didn't call the children back to remember what God had done. When you think back to the mighty wonders that were done in Egypt, the plagues that Moses brought upon Egypt to cause the Pharaoh to let the people of God go, there are mighty, mighty works. And in the book of Genesis, we have the record of the creation of the earth, this mighty works of creation. These people should have known all that, but it became commonplace. It became something that was not really endeared to them. And they were so interested in just living a life that they forgot God in the process. And I see that happening in America today. People are not really concerned in America with God anymore. It's not as though it has been in the past. As I've said before, I remember times when the church buildings were full, had chairs in the aisles. Many, many young people, and we don't see the young people today, they're gone somewhere. And I know of one congregation I've mentioned before that in the 70s, they lost 75% of their young people. Now, no church has that many young people they can afford to lose those. But we've seen en masse young people turning away from God, and that's true even today as well. And the parents allowed it to be so. Turn back this time to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we notice what the parents were supposed to do that they failed to do. In chapter 4, beginning with verse 9 and then verse 10, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, 'Gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that live on earth, that they may teach their children.'" Well, the parents didn't do that. And I'm persuaded that's happening a lot today. The parents allowed it to happen. And then the nation just turned away from God. It became full of idolatry. And the mighty works that God had done were counted as nothing. And the people even gave their babies to burn in Baal, the god that was they were worshiping. And you think how far they went into apostasy and how far they went into idolatry, that they would throw their children into the belly of this god that was on fire and sacrifice their children to this kind of a god. How deeply they fell because they forgot God. Well, we'll look around at us. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 reminds us, whatever things were written before were written for our learning. I need to learn something about this, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And so we look at the situation today and we recognize it's not as good as it ought to be. And we need to take serious thought about how the church can grow and how we can convert our neighbors, how we can bring people into the fold of God. And as we said, that we were making that plain with regard to our website. Please remember, take cards with you and give them away. I mentioned one time before that since it's December, I'll go to some store and I'll meet somebody in the aisle and I'll ask them, "What you going to get me for Christmas?" One woman told me this week, "Jesus." Well, I gave her a card. And I said, "Please listen to what's on the website." And I did that to someone else. It was in the grocery store. Just go into the grocery store. Talk to people. Give them these things. They have precious souls that we need to win for Christ. It may be that you just give a card away and they look and listen and read and study the Bible and you bring them to Christ. That's what it's all about. And so let us be sure that we don't echo what the Israelites did. Can this happen today? And it has. So we say, how can it happen? Well, the priests allow it to happen. We are the priests today. We have the high priest as Jesus Christ. But the Bible says very clearly that we're priests today. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we recognize that God has called us priests. And that recognize that the law has been given to us, and we need to understand that as well. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 9, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Peter was referring back to the time of Hosea, how the people had turned away from God. And he's talking here about the fact that we're better than that. Do you feel like you are a priest of God? You should. Men and women, we're priests of God. When I make a contribution, it's to God, not just the church. It's my sacrifice to God. And part of the sacrifice to God that we must do is teach our neighbors. Well, people are afraid they're going to be rejected, or people are going to be criticizing for that sort of thing. Give them a card. If they walk away, they walk away. But I've seen people look at that and stick it in their pocket. Hopefully they're going to be looking at it. We are the priest of God. Do you feel like you're a chosen generation? What an honor that is. To think that we've been chosen by God. And we've been chosen by God through Christ. All those who obey the gospel of Christ, who are added to the church, become priests. And we're the ones that have to spread the gospel. The gambler is not going to spread the gospel. The barkeep is not going to spread the gospel. The pornographer dealer is not going to spread the gospel. If it's going to be spread, it's up to you. Take it personally. If the gospel is not spread, it's because we haven't spread it. When we're supposed to do that. We're priests of God, we understand the law of God, and we must use ourselves. And then the elders sometime allow it to happen. I mentioned in class this morning a church in Sherman, Texas, who didn't really understand the work of elders and what the Bible describes. But they had a large congregation, so they rotated the elders once a year and just put in businessmen who could make good business choices for the church. But when Paul met the elders at Miletus, or rather the elders of Ephesus over the seacoast town of Miletus, he warned them about what was going to happen as they were giving their service to God. In chapter 20 of the book of Acts, verse 28, here's the sobering words that Paul said to them. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which you purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will arise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn every day and night with tears. On Facebook in the last few, I'd say the last 2 weeks, I've noticed where some churches of Christ have decided to use women as elders. And they're using women in public worship of the church. Now I understand that God loves women just like men. But he's appointed men to serve in public. And Paul told Timothy that women were to learn in silence, not to take the oversight of men. Elders are allowing the members to tell them what they want. And they want women serving the tables. I mentioned one time before there was a church where they had decided that women were going to serve the Lord's Supper. And one man was sort of disturbed about that women were going to be publicly serving the Lord's Supper. And went in to talk to one of the elders about it. And that they were disappointed that was taking place. He said, well, listen, you just don't understand. Women have always been serving the table. They were just sitting down. What difference is it if they stand up? And that was the answer. And they went ahead and put women in the public audience, or public works of the church. So it doesn't take much to excuse some of this if we don't know the Bible. But we have to recognize what the Lord wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we have another passage that would be interesting to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those that labor among you and are over in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them highly for their, in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. And then Hebrews 13, verse 17 also warns that we be in subjection to those who are over us in the Lord. But sometimes the elders are not grounded as they should be. They don't have the courage to stand. And sometimes they'll go with the majority. So sometimes the church will take a vote, and the vote will carry over the elders. And this morning, in Numbers 12, verse 8, wasn't it? How dare you do that? Aren't you not afraid to do that? It's what the Bible said. When you dare to overthrow the work of God. And what came to my mind at the time was Aaron and Miriam, who were jealous of Moses. And they complained to Moses, "You think you're better than we are." And Miriam was struck with leprosy because they were trying to overthrow the authority of Moses. And they had to repent because of that. And Moses interceded on their behalf. But you see, there's an order in the church. Not only worship of the church, but the organization of the church. And we have to do that. And now then today, parents allow it to happen. In Ephesians chapter 6, we have the record of the fact that children are to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Quite evidently, that's not being done. I can see that in my great-grandchildren. Their parents are not even interested in the church. They're busy with work. They're busy with building houses. They're busy with doing things like so many other people are. What's happened to us that this has come to pass? We've done the same thing that Israel did. We've let ourselves get away from God. And when we let a nation leave God, it's going to have tragedy. It's just going to happen. We have to recognize that it's going to happen. So I hope you'll take this to heart. In your circumstances, whether you are a parent, a male, a female, a grandparent, or whatever, use your influence for the good of their souls. You know things about the Bible they don't know. And if you don't inform them, they'll never know it, because it may be that you're the only one that they're ever going to be around who knows the truth of God. And so we need to share that information with those yet unborn, with those generations yet to come, because here we are, the building is not full. We're not growing as much as we should. And let's take it to heart. I can look back at the history of Israel and I can see where they made their mistakes. And I can see where it led. We've been informed that when God became angry because of the idols, He sent them off into captivity. What's going to happen to America? What's going to happen to our nation? What's going to happen to the church? When you're gone, is somebody going to replace you? Do you have anybody in your family that's coming on, interested in the gospel, interested in their salvation? You can look at that and you can see the future of this church. And so I'm saying we need to really take it to heart, because these things do indeed happen. So, are our children getting enough spiritual education? Now, this is a comparison with schoolwork and the church. Public schools from kindergarten to the 12th grade have 1,225 hours a year, which in 12 years comes to 15,926 hours. Now, that's just pulled out of the sky as we look at the days of schoolwork. And it's amazing sometimes that students don't know how to read when they graduate. But what's worse is that in church attendance, or being present in 18 years of life, 4 hours a week, if they come to the class, if they come to the morning worship, if they come to the evening worship, if they come to the Wednesday night worship, with all that, that's only 4 hours. In 18 years, they'll have 3,744 hours of instruction. Are my children getting that instruction? Are your children getting that instruction? What's going to happen to this church in the future? What's it going to be when the older generation dies off? Is somebody going to replace us? Are there going to be even more empty pews? Like I say, we need to take it to heart The church is the only spiritual education, but sometimes members only have a second grade level. When they sleep or ignore and do not participate in the worship services, they're not learning what they ought to learn. So how can this happen today? Just brief review. The priests allow it to happen, that's us. The elders allow it to happen because we're not diligent enough to see that the truth is taught. Parents allow it to happen because our children have to play soccer. They've got to be in band. They've got to be in other areas of participation. And the church just lets it happen. And we need to recognize that's happening to us. It bothers me, brethren. It really bothers me. I'd like to look at the future of this church and think about it becoming mighty. I'm reminded of what one fellow said when the flea and the elephant went across the bridge together. And the flea said, "Boy, we really shook that bridge, didn't we?" Well, that's what's happening to us. And so I'm urging you to be thoughtful, prayerful, considering the cause of Christ, considering this congregation, what's it going to be in the future? If you're a visitor and you're looking for a place of worship, I hope you found it, because we want to be a New Testament congregation in every sense of that term. Have the kind of teaching that is true to the Word of God. Have the kind of living that is true to the teaching of the Word of God. If you're not a member this morning, we invite you to think seriously about your situation. Have you been a believer in Christ? Does that belief lead you to repent of your sins? Luke 13:3. Does it lead you to confess your faith in Jesus from the mouth? Romans 10, verse 10. Are you proud that you know the Lord? Are you willing to tell people that you know the Lord? Will you humble yourself down to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins? Then you'll be among those who are the people of God, that chosen generation, and you can lead others to the cross of Christ. We implore you to think on these things. If you need to obey the gospel, please let it be known while we stand together and sing the invitation song together.